In Acts 11:26, it says, "In Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." So if you're a Christian, you're Jesus' disciple. You're his follower, his student, his learner. You're an apprentice of Jesus, someone who is learning how to be like Jesus as they live in relationship with Jesus. And for you graduates, life is about to get much more complicated. You have decisions in front of you that may have an impact for years to come. And for the rest of us, if we're honest, life is often complicated. And so in the midst of our complicated lives, I want to this morning give us a brief reminder of what it means to simply live as Jesus' disciples. I want to talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus from one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And so today we're going to see 4 points. First, we'll see 1 point about who Jesus is, and then we're going to see 3 points about what it means to be his disciples. So pull out your note sheet, and the first thing we're going to see is that Jesus is the revelation of God to the humble. Jesus is the revelation of God to the humble. Once you write that down, read with me in Matthew 11, verse 25. It says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.'" So what we have here is a prayer of Jesus to the Father. And Jesus praises the Father for the way that the Father has made his revelation known. Jesus says here that God has chosen to reveal himself to the humble, to children. And knowledge of God, it's not only for the learned and the wise. It's not just for the elite and the intelligentsia. Your relationship with God doesn't depend on human wisdom or education or your intellectual skills or your ability to research. It was his good will that the lowly could find the way. And that if the clever found it, it would be in the same way that the lowly did, by trusting in a Savior humbly, like a child. When Jesus says that the Father has revealed himself to little children, he's not pointing to the children's immaturity or their lack of ability to reason. The point is humility. He's not saying it's wrong to be intelligent. He's saying the contrast is between the self-sufficient who think of themselves as wise and having their lives all together and those who are humbly dependent and teachable. Jesus is highlighting the dependence of little children. You know, my kids, my little children, if they want a drink of water, they need help. They have to ask if they want something to eat. They have to ask for help to use the bathroom. They're dependent and humble. And so Jesus says it's not the know-it-alls who find God, but the humble. And Jesus is uniquely qualified to reveal God. There were many in the first century who held that God was a mystery. He was unknowable. He was unapproachable. You couldn't know him, really. And there actually is a bit of truth in that. In 1 Timothy 6:15, it describes God like this: "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." You see, God is unknowable to us. That is, unless he reveals himself to us. And he has done that in the person of Jesus. What this passage says is that Jesus is the authoritative revealer of the Father. That's what it means in verse 25 when Jesus says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So disciples of Jesus know God through Jesus. Jesus reveals God to them. And those who are willing to receive the revelation of God in Jesus will have knowledge of God that is not available to anyone else. Because Jesus is the exclusive revealer of God. In John 14, 6, it says this, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Hebrews 1:3 says that he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So let me ask you, as you think about your relationship with God, is it characterized by humbly trusting in him or by proudly thinking you've got your life figured out? I'll tell you, in my own life, one of the key indicators of how I'm doing in this is my prayer life. If I'm actively spending time praying about things in my life, about my family, about ministry, about my relationships, about tasks before me, then usually I'm humbly trusting God. But the times when my prayer life grows cold is when I start realizing that I'm being proud and self-sufficient. In fact, one of my favorite definitions of prayer is depending on God out loud. Jesus reveals God to the humble. And so we should look to him in humble dependence. So Jesus is the revelation of God to the humble. Let's continue on, and we're going to see three things that it means to be Jesus' disciples. Read with me in verse 28. It says, Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the first thing we see in this passage is that Jesus invites the weary and the burdened to come to him. He says, Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And the image that Jesus is using here is from agriculture, where an oxen would be harnessed for work. So you get this picture here of an oxen that has this heavy load, totally burdened, laboring and struggling to carry this load, exhausted, tired, and just spent. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're exhausted from what's going on in your life or from trying to earn God's favor, from trying to fulfill a burden of expectations that's crushing you. If this describes you, then you're the person that Jesus is inviting to himself. And what Jesus invites you to do is to come to him and take his yoke upon you. Jesus is inviting you in to live in relationship with himself. And this is our next point. Being Jesus' disciple means that we live in relationship with Jesus. You see, the picture here is of an ox removing his heavy burdened yoke and putting on Jesus' yoke. And the yoke here, it's not an egg yoke. It's a big harness that you put on an animal so that they can carry a load or pull a plow. And what's important to see here is whose yoke we are to take on. You see it there in verse 29? Jesus says, Take my yoke upon you. How could we be wearing the yoke and yet it be Jesus' yoke? Well, I think what's going on here is Jesus is picturing a dual yoke. It's a harness that would link two animals together, side by side in tandem, so that as they're coupled together, they can do the work together. And so we have this beautiful picture of Jesus calling us into relationship with himself. We're to be coupled to him, connected to him, to throw off our old yoke, our burdens, our weights, and couple ourselves to him. We're to throw off our sin, our greed, our lust, our selfishness, our self-centeredness. We throw off our desire for acclaim or praise. We throw off our morality, our self-righteousness, all those things we do in our own strength to make us feel good about ourselves or to ease our consciences. We throw off living for the expectations of others or the expectations we place on ourselves. And instead, we are to be linked to Jesus in relationship. So let me ask you, do you have a real and living relationship with Jesus? Or have you just been going through the motions? Have you truly been depending on him? Have you been walking with him and experiencing his delight? Have you been remembering that he's with you through the highs and lows, the peaks and the valleys? Has his praise been on your lips and his word been in your heart? You know, we constantly have to guard against allowing Christianity to become a superficial, external series of religious practices rather than a real and living relationship with God through Jesus. Being Jesus' disciple means that we live in relationship with him. Now, there's actually two commands in this passage. The first is, take my yoke upon you. And the second is immediately following. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So the next point in your outline is, being Jesus' disciple means that we learn how to live from Jesus. You see, being a disciple isn't just a relationship. It's a relationship in which we learn from our master. It's like an apprentice who learns a trade by working with someone who has mastered that trade. And to be a disciple means that you learn how to be like Jesus in the context of relationship with Jesus. So think about that picture of two animals harnessed together again. A farmer would have an old, experienced oxen, an oxen who'd plowed this field time after time. This oxen had been trained to know that you turn around each time you approach the edge of the field. He knew there were certain areas of the field where you'd have to pull a little extra hard. He knew that when you hit a rock, you'd have to give it an extra tug to get it to budge. He knew what he was doing. And then imagine that the farmer purchases a young, inexperienced oxen, and they're coupled together in this yoke. What would happen is the young oxen would learn from the experienced oxen how to plow that field. When the young oxen saw a squirrel and started to go check it out, the older oxen would pull them back in line. When the young oxen got spooked by a strange sound, the older oxen's calmness would reassure him. When the young oxen wanted to give up, the old oxen would pull extra hard to keep them going and lighten the load. And that's what it's like to be Jesus' disciple. As you live in relationship with Jesus, you learn from him how to live life. And so as you look at your life, as you think about how you approach school or work, or how you approach your family relationships, how you approach church even, can you say that today you're more Christ-like than you were 5 years ago? If you're living in relationship with Jesus, then you should be undergoing a slow motion process of becoming more and more like him. He should shape how you treat others, what you value, what's important to you. And let me say, living in relationship with Jesus goes hand in hand with learning to be like Jesus. If you're just living in relationship with Jesus and you're not learning to become more like him, then you're fooling yourself and you're heading towards license, where you start justifying your sinful behavior before God. Or if you're learning to be like Jesus and you're not living in relationship with him, then you're fooling yourself and you're heading towards legalism, where you start to look to your own behavior to justify you before God. So to be Jesus' disciple means both are present, relationship with Jesus and learning to be like Jesus. It's in the context of relationship with Jesus that we learn how to be like Jesus. There's one final thing we see in this passage about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and that's this. Being Jesus' disciple means we find rest in Jesus. Look at verse 28 again. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Being a disciple of Jesus is so freeing. And the reason it's freeing is because of who Jesus is. His character is gentle and humble. You see it there in verse 29? "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus' burden is light and his yoke is easy because of his character. He's patient with us. He's gentle with us. He's kind to us and cares for us. He disciplines us and corrects us when we need it with the tenderness of a father. And so we find rest in Jesus because of Jesus' character. And so one takeaway from this passage is that if something is wearying or tiring or exhausting to your soul, chances are either it is not from God or you're approaching it apart from relationship with God. Now notice that Jesus doesn't say that we take our yoke off and just roam around yoke-free. That's not the picture here. Being a disciple of Jesus doesn't mean that he automatically releases us from all the burdens of this life, just as he didn't escape the burdens of human life during his incarnation. You're going to face sickness and calamity and tragedy as you live in this fallen world until one day it's finally redeemed. But in the midst of that, if you've taken on Jesus' yoke, there's a promise of his sustaining help. He's with us in the midst of the tragedy. He's there bearing our burden with us. He's with us as we face sickness and cancer. He's there as we deal with frustration and disappointment and loss. Make no mistake, the demands of following Jesus are great, but the relationship with Jesus makes the burden light. As complicated as life may become, discipleship is, at heart, simply walking with Jesus in the real world and having him teach us, moment by moment, how to do life his way. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. So Jesus is God's authoritative revelation of himself to the humble, and being a disciple means that we live in relationship with Jesus, that we learn from Jesus how to live life, and that we find rest in him. We're going to be taking communion in a few moments. And as we prepare for communion, I'd like to ask you to take some time to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, have I been living in relationship with Jesus, or have I been going through the motions? Have I been learning to be like Jesus? Have I been finding my rest in Jesus? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us into relationship with yourself, for revealing yourself to us, for giving us the hope of being able to have a relationship with God. Lord, you are so kind and so good to us, and we are so grateful for your mercy, for your tenderness to us, for your gentle character with us. Thank you for how you're patient with us and how you lead us. Help us, Lord, to follow you well. Help us to be disciples that really bring honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.